Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Come from? Why am I here? Is there a purpose to all of this? Join Hercules and Victus and crew as they seek answers to these and other timeless questions and serve Mount Olympus by safeguarding the path of mystic ascension. Welcome to the Pride of Olympus.
Greetings and welcome to Pride of Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight is an Archons and Aeons episode. Our first segment is the Disclosure Network, presented by Nick Curto, and his guest is Kurt Vaughn. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you?
Well, never better, Hercules. Great to be with you and looking forward to tonight's program. It's going to be, I think, one of the best.
I'm looking forward to it then. So without further ado, I give you your show. I'll be here in case you need me.
Okay, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. And the program, indeed, is Nick Curto Presents the Disclosure Network. And I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 18th year of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues, paranormal phenomena, as well as many important related subjects from a wide variety of sources as we go very deep into these exciting and sometimes very misunderstood subjects that the mainstream press will not disclose. Our members do intensive investigative research into these various topics and share that information with the group at our meetings, and then again, that's twice a month here in Manhattan, or with our internet followers. Now, our motto right from day one is, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. We have available to everyone worldwide the DNNY News Blast email service, and that's focusing on the topics of special interest to our group. That is a totally free service. Just visit our website. I'm going to give you that address right now, so please write it down. It would be www.dnny.info. That's dnny.info. And you'll get there, and then you'll type in your email address where it's asked for, and then you will be connected quite rapidly with us, and then you'll be receiving all of our announcements, not only for what the programs are, but the cutting-edge news. And believe me, there is a lot of it. It's exploding, absolutely exploding, and it's of interest to our members and, of course, our internet followers. Now, hundreds of people have already signed on for this service, and more are joining every single day. Again, it's a DNNY absolutely free service. Okay, here we go. Our featured guest tonight on our podcast is a very good friend and colleague, Kurt Vaughn. Kurt, a very hearty good welcome to you.
Great to be here.
Kurt, talk up a lot more, if you will, so I can hear you better, okay?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, let me just say that on behalf of you, that you're a DGH-certified hypnotherapist accepted by the, member of Dr. Richard Breuland, ACCET, Therapeutic Group, and designated rep for the East Coast. So that's one half that's very busy indeed. Now, if I may, Kurt, I'd like to start the program off with just some simple questions about your background. And to start it off, I'd like to ask you, where were you born?
I was born in Queens, New York, Kew Gardens.
Okay. Go Queens. And from a very big family or brothers and sisters?
Just one brother.
Just one brother, okay. And your mom and dad, what were they like? What kind of work did they do, or just a little bit?
Very loving family, hardworking, basic, you know, just American family.
Well, you know, that's a blessing to have, as you said, a loving family. That is a true blessing. I know people who have not been so fortunate, and those issues go quite deep, so I'm very happy you did have that background. Now, did you live together in that location, or did you move around?
Basically in the same area all my life, yeah.
Okay. Also, just quickly, where did you go to school and study?
Well, I went to Catholic school. I went to Bishop Laughlin in Brooklyn, and I continued, and I studied at Queens College.
Okay, very good. And Kurt, again, I'm having a little problem with the volume, so if you can bring the phone close to your mouth, and we'll be okay. Now, you're going to speak. You're going to be our featured guest speaker this coming Sunday at the Disclosure Network New York Manhattan meeting, and we're very excited about that. And you chose for your topic, it's the quote, organic plasma life forms, proof positive contact with interdimensional intelligence, unquote. Wow. I mean, you certainly have my interest, and I think the interest of everybody in the group. So certainly looking forward to that. Can you comment a little bit more about what you're going to be speaking of?
Yeah. Basically, do you want me to give you a basic background, how I came to learn about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you could, just briefly, but very much would like that. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. At an early age, I was having some kind of interaction with intelligences, because in retrospect, when I asked my mother, you know, when I used to take off on my own when I was a kid, I said, well, how old was I? She says, between the ages of 5 and 7, I would just basically take off on my bike early in the morning, and just like I was drawn to an area locally behind the aqueduct racetrack where there's an A train stop there. And it was basically a field with what do they call those, cattails, or that kind of overgrowth. And I would get lost in there. Yeah, I would get lost there. Basically, I would come back late in the afternoon, sometimes even dark, when it was dark, and my mother would call the police sometimes, and she would go to neighbors and ask, you know, have you seen my kid, you know? They said, well, he was here early in the morning and just taking off. But the point is, I did look into that later on when I had the opportunity to meet Bud Hopkins, and there was things that, you know, that did come out from that.
Did you go there because it felt comfortable? Did it feel safe? What was the attraction?
I don't know. Inevitably, I was drawn to go there. I mean, I was such a small kid. I don't even know how I knew how to get there. I mean, it was approximately at least 3 miles away.
Wow.
And roads, intricate roads and stuff. But I ended up there, and I would go there on a fairly regular basis over the span of a few years. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel as though there was something special, some, I don't know, I won't say contact necessarily, but there was something about that area?
Well, it was under the guise of going butterfly hunting. I never came back with anything.
No butterflies to come back. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
You know,
but what did you do there?
Butterfly net. Yeah, nothing ever. It must have been the worst. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But you spent the time. What did you do when you got there? Did you?
I would just pull up, you know, go with the bicycle and get lost in there, and I don't have. That's another thing. I don't have many memories of my youth when I was young. I mean, I have sporadic memories. I have certain memories. You know, maybe a little bit about mm-hmm. school, but other than that, it's sort of like a washout.
Okay. Now take us to the place in your life where things started to happen to you that weren't expected and that were unusual,
yeah.
to say the least.
Oh, I can
when
remember
did that
exactly.
happen?
Yeah, I can remember
roughly,
exactly.
Roughly,
yeah, over 35 years ago, we used to go up to a friend's house upstate New York, and that was
right.
Not too far from New Paltz. It was actually it was closer to Liberty, New York. It was
okay.
a place called Calicoon Center, and in Calicoon. And one evening, there was a local who wanted to go out and shoot a deer or whatever, and I said, "Look, I'm not into that, but I'll drive you up to the area." So we drove there, and as we were driving, I had a Corvette at the time. And we were driving pretty quick on those side roads, and all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
to our right, we saw a whole bunch of little red retinas of something, and they were deer. So I slammed on the brakes and inadvertently had gone into the gully, and the car was so low to the ground I couldn't get out. So the car could only go forward and back, and because two wheels were hanging over, and the other two were on the road, sort of a little on the side. So I said, "Look, you know, I'm not leaving the car. You got to go get help or whatever." So I said, "Before you leave, let's you know, look around." We looked around and basically dead. I mean, it was just farmland and middle of nowhere on Route 17, approximately five miles we drove from the house, I estimated. And the last thing I remember after we looked around and saw that it was okay, I just saw him walking into the night, and that was it. And until later on when they did return, but that's when everything happened. I guess that was my first conscious recall that actually is the basis of me looking into things with Bud Hopkins. What had occurred was, as I was waiting around, we had a rifle in the back of the seats. It was a .22 rifle. It wasn't a centerfire or anything like that. Just a lever action. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I was sitting in the car. Next thing I know, I'm outside the car, and I have the rifle in my hand. And something is really, you know, piquing my interest because, first of all, there was no sound. It was, they call it the Oz factor. And I thought that was a little strange. You know, you always hear crickets or what have you, wind or something. Nothing at all.
Right.
Absolutely dead.
And, dead silence.
Yeah. And next thing I know is I'm getting sort of like, look over here. And I kind of look to my right. And I said, "Gee, you know, that's crazy." I said, "There's some campers here." You know, the illusion was so good. It was just far enough to see, but not close enough to make out everything. It looked like there was three children walking around, walking around a campfire. But the campfire was perfect. You know, it's like when you see these cartoons and the inside of the trees are all lit up. You know, and that
mm-hmm.
the smoke is perfect. It was too perfect, and it was sort of like a caricature in a sense, but a movie sort of thing. And the next scene. Because I said to myself, you know, it's pretty – I hope these guys got permission from the farmers. See, I was still thinking in logical terms within this whatever, it, you know, whatever was engulfed around me. It was sort of like maybe that just that entire area was surreal. But within that context, I still was able to make judgments and thinking and that kind of thing. I thought that was interesting and in retrospect. Wow. But at some point, I started. I looked away, and at some point, I started hearing somebody creeping up. And I don't no one likes anybody creeping up on you. And you can hear like leaves and like a walking up. I said, "Uh oh, yeah, this
That's
is not
creepy.
Good because I don't see
creepy.
Anybody." So I start start yelling out like, "Look, I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm just saying, look, back off. I'm warning you. This kind of thing." And I loaded a bullet into the chamber because I guess I was scared enough to do that. And it was like a scene out of that movie with Burt Reynolds,
But
in the woods. But anyway, so I swung the gun over to the right. I shot around. Swung the gun over to the other side, shot around, and that's the last I remember. The next thing I remember is I'm standing behind the car, rifle is not in my hand anymore, and I'm just standing there, and I'm seeing my friends coming up the road, and I hear them yelling, like, "You jerk, you idiot, it only happened to you," this kind of thing. And they pull up, and they put a chain on the car or whatever, and they pulled it out, and because I got them out of bed, and, you know, they weren't really too happy about that. So, and the funny thing is, no one spoke about it. They didn't even ask me anything. And we got into the car and we went back like nothing. And it took years before it even came up that I spoke to anybody about it.
Well, that's weird. I mean, that why wouldn't they ask a whole bunch of questions at that point? That's crazy.
Strange. Yep.
Yeah.
They just thought it was
a little bit here. What you're seeing here is there was some time that was missing for sure.
Yeah.
That there was
that.
And that is really very, very scary when all of a sudden there is a blank and you can't remember for whatever reason what went on. Now, that is really very of great concern. I think anybody who's ever had that happen.
Yeah, only years later do I look into it. Yeah, it rose to the occasion where I said, "Hey, geez, you know, maybe there's something to this." Because it's not like on top priority to think about it. It just didn't come up. And I've had that happen a lot of times, that events would occur and it wouldn't come up until later on, years later.
Well, you just need clarity. You just need to say, "Hey, you know, there's some part of the puzzle that's missing. What is that about?" So,
Yeah, you see, like, even like it would seem strange to people because the normal sequence of events weren't, you know, taking place. You would think that, "Oh, gee, you know, this happened. Let's talk about the guys at the house. Hey, what happened?" It didn't work out that way. It was just glossed over, and it was, you know, it was like a non-event. Just like I went off the road, and they had to get out of bed, and they pulled me in, and pulled me out, and that was it.
Yeah, that is upsetting on a lot of levels, and it could have been, you know, you could have been hurt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Thank God you weren't.
Or I could have hurt somebody. But, you know, the funny part is that I knew enough not to shoot up in the air because whatever goes up comes down. So I did shoot into the ground. So I was still thinking on, you know, in logical terms. So you still have your faculties within this surrealism that's taking place, you know. And I only found that out later on, not at that time.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and that is really true. But to go that far and to think that you need the gun and all that, that's of concern then, because now things are getting real. Now, take us to the next level here. What, a year go past, or tell us about the next major occurrence, if you will.
Oh, gee, there was so many things. Well, funny you ask, not too long after that, because we used to go up to upstate, often. That was our, you know, stomping grounds, and we did end up going to a dude ranch with a few friends, and we had, I remember we were on this off the beaten path road, and it was three of us, it was three cars, and we were in the lead car. It was a Cadillac, a convertible, and we had the top down, we're driving along, it was great, and all of a sudden I look up, and I see all these deers looking down. No. There was deers on a ridge looking in one direction, not down. But when I said, "Stop the car," because I thought that was weird. I said, "Look at this farmer must be nuts putting all these deers up here. People are going to shoot at them." And all of a sudden, all the heads turned at the same time, and they looked down at us, and they all started stampeding us, running at us. Now, anybody in the field knows, if you're a hunter or ever, deer don't run at you. Or they usually run the other way, you know? But I do remember we were kind of we were out of the car. I don't remember getting out of the vehicle, and we were kind of all standing there just frozen. You move your eyes, but you kind of just standing there. And in my peripheral view, I see somebody else, another friend of mine, to the right, to the left. And I also saw all the deers running towards us, jumping over the car, like where you would sit in the car, the cab, over the car, over the hood, in between cars. And it was absurd. The whole thing was bizarre.
Never heard of anything quite like that. The animals behaving that strangely. I mean,
and it was a group of them.
You said they were jumping over the car. Did any of them hit the car?
No. And when they landed or whatever, I guess you don't even hear anything. It was sort of just the whole thing was surreal, you know. But it was real enough. It was maybe it was you know some kind of an illusion or whatever. But whatever it was real enough for us. And then years later, this didn't come up either. And when I did see one of my friends, Steve, and I had asked him, he was really good with remembering stuff. He was, you know, he was good at this kind of stuff. And I asked him, I said, hey, do you remember that time we were in the, he goes, yeah. I said, you remember what happened? He said, yeah, deers were running. I said, what happened after that? And he literally put his hand on his head. He started scratching. I said, when you remember, give me a call. I haven't received that call yet.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, so here we go again. Oh, that's here we go. It sounds almost like an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
It does.
I mean, that would be actually one hell of a movie because once that very strange occurrence happens, especially with animals, I mean, all right, so given that, what's the next, I would say, occurrence or something you can remember?
Basically, we also used to frequent the Pine Bush area, I guess. It was in the 90s. So we would go up to Pine Bush, and I used to call it UFO Central. But there was stuff that we saw there, nothing really major. We saw some odd things in the sky, but nothing to, you know, get all excited about. The thing that did occur was, I'm trying to remember. Back home, there was, like, things, like, locally, I would be at a stoplight, for example. I was on Queens Boulevard one evening coming back from a girlfriend's house, and I was just waiting there, and this is near Union Turnpike and Queens Boulevard, and all of a sudden there's this light. I mean, it's a beautiful, perfectly cylindrical, it was like, you know, if you have a flashlight, it is always a washout to the sides. This thing was like a perfect tube. Maybe it's hard to estimate. I would say at least 8 to 10 inches. And inside, it was sort of like it's almost angelic-like. You know, like with floating material. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I'm thinking, well, there must be somebody on the Con Edison has a building up there, and I thought maybe there was one of those searchlights or something. So I look up and there's nothing there, and to the left of me there was cars all around me because we were waiting at the light, and the guys to the left of me, I think they were undercover cops because they seen them with the computer and stuff, but nobody in the seemed to see it. It went right across the hood of my truck. And I mean, it was bright enough, no one seemed to have seen it. And then I sort of like, you know, I was aghast, but what is this? Then it just winked out, and I says, oh, it must have, you know, I'm always looking for prosaic answers. I said, maybe it's one of those lights, you know, when you get it flashed and you give you a ticket, the light. Yeah. Well, I thought it was one of those, and at the moment I thought that, the light, another beam goes across. I got spooked. That was really wild. And, you know, the light changed. I put it into gear, and off I went. I went across on the south side of Queens Boulevard. I parked the car, and I looked up. There was nothing there. That was,
you know, a lot of people have related to our group when they talk about things like this.
Yep.
That they were seeing something, or the person or persons right near them were seeing it, but everybody else around had no clue, couldn't see anything. And so one of the observances is that if whatever it is doesn't want to be seen or doesn't want to be seen by certain people, they have the power to do that.
Right.
So they can. There's a way, probably a way of masking a reality of sorts or an object or whatever that is. And there's
there's also like light refraction and there's all sorts of, you know, then we start to put dimensional things into the equation. There's so many, we can go off on so many tangents, but again, it's all hearsay. Strangest.
Take it down to the next. Go ahead.
Yeah. This has got to be, even for me, this is absolutely off the wall bizarre. I mean, sometimes I just scratch my head. I know it occurred. It was broad daylight, and I believe I discussed this with you. I went to visit a friend of mine in Rego Park. He was an ex-military guy. He was a flyer. And I went up to, you know, I parked the car, and it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:20, somewhere around there. And parked the car. I remember he had the stairs, the type of house where you had the stairs going up, then there's a landing, and then you have the door. Well, I'm going up the stairs, and just as I'm reaching the top, I get on the platform and I start walking, and all of a sudden I get this clairaudience, this notion, or just look up, look up, and I turned, it was sort of like if anybody's knows what it's like to be in a car accident. It happens so fast, and there's that brief moment when everything just slows down for that just 1 second or two, like in the Matrix, and then everything just comes back together, rushing in. Well, it was something like that. My mind could not it could not accept what was it, because it's bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a logical impossibility. Well, what I saw was, like, I would say within 20, 25 feet, no more, there was a huge, I mean, this thing must have been, I was just looking in one direction. My eyes would be able to move, but my body sort of kind of just in one spot. And in my peripheral view, it just extended like almost infinitely. It just went on, and it was curved. This thing was a gunmetal pewter gray, like a submarine. If you ever seen a submarine come out of the water, a U.S. submarine, that's why I call this the hull, the gray hull. Well, this thing was literally on top of my head, and it seemed like it was on a sort of like a pitch. I think it was, if I had to guess, something like a 45-degree angle right above my head. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden, I start to see like branches and stuff. They gave me an illusion, almost like to calm me down of sort. Like if you see a cat runs into a bag, it thinks it's safe. You know, you could just squash the thing. But it sort of gave me an illusion to make me feel like I had some kind of something in between what I was looking at and some sort of, you know, solace where I'm protected as a tree there. That's my best guess. But there was no trees there or anything else, because after this happened, I just snapped out of it, I guess, and just walked up, rang the bell. He came out, and I said, hey, I was like, you got to come out here. You got to see. He goes, nah, come on in. It's just a blimp. And I'm saying, why would he say that? You know, he didn't even come out, but why would he say blimp? It's only years later that I put it together. When I rang the bell, I remember when I turned around, it was dark. And, you know, these dirigibles, the Goodyear blimps, whatever, they do come out in the daytime, but they usually, you know, associate it more with the dark. You know, they're out in the dark, flying around, you know, with lights, whatever. But it really piqued my interest, because why did he say that? All these years, I couldn't figure out. So, gee whiz, and then it hit me. It was dark. So when I went in, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around there. And then when I rang the bell, it was dark out.
Okay, here we go again. What is going on? Why me? You ever ask yourself, why me? Why is it going on with me? You ever ask yourself that?
Yeah.
You know, like why? Like why was I the one to see it? Why was I the one to observe it? And other people saw nothing. But and also the idea that this is a lot of times when there's missing time, and that's a great concern.
Yeah.
So yeah, oh boy, that's a lot. I just
want to do a sidebar
and just say again, Kurt is going to be giving a 90-minute talk to Disclosure Network New York this coming Sunday. That's the 16th at 2:00 sharp. And if you're interested to know more details about the meeting, please go to the website, which is dnny.info. It will tell you in detail about the meeting and how you can RSVP. You can't just show up at the door. You have to RSVP well before the meeting. So I'm suggesting you do that as soon as you can and before we fill up. And then, of course, we won't be able to accept any more RSVP reservations. So Kurt will be talking. And Kurt is also bringing with him some slides of some of the amazing light forms that he has not only seen, but was able to do photography and take some images. It actually came out. Kurt, do you want to just say briefly about that? Because I think that's interesting about the photography.
Sure. Let me touch on that. Obviously, it's such a vast subject. It's going to be difficult. But what I'll do, I'll just give a brief synopsis. Basically, not only myself, but friends and some family members, we have discovered to some degree that there are these plasma life forms. I call them bioluminescent, biomorphing life entities of some. It's a life form, and they're all around us. They're also with there's orbs, and I mean people have gotten those. But what makes this interesting is it's so complex. And I'm an artist, and I'm like absolutely blown away and amazed that there's cause and effect. There's some kind of response to your thoughts. They display. No matter where you start, you're always out of context with this. Okay, what they do is they actually appear in our three-dimensional existence. However, when we look at it with our naked eye, it appears as if it's just a light of sort. But when the digital camera, especially when you do this, use the inexpensive ones, they don't have the infrared or the ultraviolet filters in there. You know, the more expensive ones do. So you want that to come through. And they actually operate within the infrared and the ultraviolet spectrums. This goes back to, Trevor James, Constable's work, where, you know, with the that talked about Wilhelm Reich and the argon energy and all the life force that's out there. Well, basically, this is, I believe, the same thing. What I've extrapolated from literally years of taking these pictures is that not only are they appearing on the digital format, but they're demonstrating form that in our repertoire of understanding, we can understand what it is. They look like people. They look like they're walking. There's all sorts of a whole wide array of things. But then it gets even more intense because what they do is they're very clever. They use, let's say you get them at night, they use the night, the blackness, as like, sort of like their blackboard. And where we took these pictures was on the North Shore of Long Island. And they're appearing over the water. But you see, then it starts to get really interesting because, you know, we look at things in a three-dimensional manner. You know, you just, wow, gee, you know, there's something over the water. But when you start taking these pictures, you see that they're able to demonstrate interdimensional qualities because these lights that we see with our eyes are approximately a mile or so away, more or less, somewhere. It's hard to judge over water and stuff and at night, but at least a mile away. But there are many times when these things are showing up right in front of the lens, because I used to go out there with my friend Posey Gilbert, and he, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to take some pictures close to the grass and just to see on an angle or whatever. And these things would actually, like with segments, come right up to the lens, and they wrap themselves around the blade of the grass. And so how can something like that occur? You're taking pictures on a plane, a digital plane, and then these things are right in front of the lens. It's absolutely a logical impossibility. So they teach you this way, this kind of thing. But what I've recently discovered was absolutely amazing. This is for myself. Maybe other people don't think so, but I do. What I notice is that sometimes these things are very close to the water, and they leave a reflection. So the reflection and the anomaly above it, the plasma life form, together they form something that we can understand, we can make out as a figure or whatever. But it gets better because the bottom half, especially when it's more in a white spectrum, appears to be a portal. It's being utilized as a portal, and you actually see figures. You know, you see the torso where a head would be, and sometimes you could see something like legs and feet or whatever. And you say, well, this is getting bizarre. So what I did is I blew them up. I kept blowing them up, as I was looking at them, I started to see other things. And I'm asking other people to look also to see if they – I say, do you see anything here? And they say, oh, you mean the woman's face? So there's actually human or humanoid-looking faces within that abstract, if you will, but they are coming through something. So can you just – I'm trying to show to get an appreciation for the complexity. The what would it take to do something like this? It would be the best director, that we've ever had to even come close to this. I don't think it can be done, but this is what I've gotten lately. And one more thing, it was about a week and a half ago. Well, it was the 29th of January. I was up late at night, and I heard a helicopter. I saw, I said, it must be a police helicopter out there, but it wouldn't go away. So I said, I finally open the window, and I look up there, and it sounds like a helicopter. I can't see it, though, and it had the correct color lights. It had the green, red, and white, but it had other, more lights. And I'm saying, that's a little odd. I'm a trained observer, and I'm saying, okay, well, I said, maybe I should take a couple of pictures of this thing. So I get my off-the-shelf Sony CyberShot, and I put it on flash, and I took a few pictures. Well, wouldn't you know, I uploaded them in the computer, not at all a helicopter, not even close. It's just these plasma anomalies situating themselves in a form, and then the human eye sees and hears the object as being a helicopter. I've had this happen.
On that note, we have to end our journey. It's the end of our time. We have a minute or so for you to share your contact information.
Okay. Well, Kurt, what I can do here is, first of all, oh my God, thank you so much. It was so interesting, and I can't wait for Sunday. And again, if our listeners want to attend that meeting, go to dnny.info, and you can get all the details. And you have to make an RSVP the correct way, which is spelled out very simply on the website. Kurt, I guess, again, thank you so much, and I look forward to your full presentation with slides, by the way. And I've seen some of those slides, and believe me, they are awesome, and I look forward to that. So, again, thank you so much. If they want to get a hold of you or me, they can go to my email address, that which is nicknyny1@gmail.com. So nicknyny1@gmail.com, and then they can contact you or me. If it's you, I'll forward Kurt the messages. So thank you so much. Much love to you. And this is Nick Curdo for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be kind to one another. Goodbye for now.
And thanks to both of you. Nick, Phoenix invited you to be on his show. So if you'd care to, after this musical break, we'll continue with that. And Kurt, that was an awesome presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
More than welcome, and count me in for the next program. Yep.
Okay, great. We're going to take a brief music break. We're going to listen to Dave the Bard's Antler Crown and Standing Stone.
Within the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am voice, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. Everywhere that I have been, my past and turned the great green. The birds came to the door, the land has awoken, and oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal.
Oh,
Seth, and welcome back to Pride of Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and our music seems to be exceptionally loud today. Believe it or not, that was on the lowest setting, what we're getting over the microphone. So it may correct itself, it may not, but it was good music. Before we begin with our next segment, which is the Preceptor Project with Phoenix the Techno Druid and guest Nikurto, I will read to you what the Pride of Olympus mission is. The Pride of Olympus is our Merkaba, our sun chariot, our celestial barge, the wheels within wheels shamanic vehicle that facilitates our journeys to the astral realms of Gaia's world tree. The Pride of Olympus is our metaphorical vehicle for exploring various thematically related but seemingly different approaches concerned with explaining our human origins, guiding our human development, and actualizing our maximal human potential. The Pride of Olympus supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And like all conveyances, the Pride of Olympus can and does assume many forms, including that of this podcast. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. I will share with everyone right now that we will be growing a great deal in the year ahead. The next step will probably be an HD radio show. And then a YouTube channel that'll have a full range of programming, as does our Blog Talk Radio currently, and it extends beyond that. So this will be a busy year, and our current programs are going to evolve and expand, and they're going to improve. So this is a very exciting time. The Preceptor Project is one of our latest programs, and they join Unarius, and they join the Urantia book in our various efforts. And tonight we're going to learn more about Phoenix the Techno Druid and what he is doing. So without further ado, let us welcome Phoenix and welcome Nick. Greetings, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to the program. Absolutely.
Awesome. Now, Nick, you run both Disclosure Network New York and the Urantia Book New York. And you founded these organizations, and they've been running for like 18, 20 years now. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And the way I've ended up doing this, and I have a venue, which is a large room at the center located in the West Village on West 13th Street. And I've hired that room so that on Sundays, usually the first and third Sundays, but if there's a holiday or something special, sometimes we'll do a different Sunday. But basically it's the first and third Sunday of every single month throughout the year. And we start off with the Urantia reading, and that goes from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And we're on the fourth part of the book. So for the people that are from a Christian background, you'll be delighted to know that it's the entire story of Jesus' life. And that includes a huge amount of the missing years that the Bible never talked about. And that's all in the book. And I'm telling you, you're sitting on the edge of your chair because you feel as though you are really there. And you're seeing and hearing what's going on with Jesus and the people that are around him. It's an extraordinary experience. So that goes from 1 to 2. Then from 2 to 4 in the same room, everybody from the Urantia study group stays, because then we have for 2 hours the Disclosure Network New York meeting. And that involves either UFO, ET, paranormal phenomenon, and other related subjects, and I am so proud of that. And again, we're on our 18th year for that. And starting this coming Sunday, the 16th, we have a new program that goes from 4 o'clock to 5:30, a very different kind of program. And what that's going to be is I'm going to give a class in acting for improvisational theater.
Wow.
Now, I have a background in theater, and I love improv because basically you give the actors a scenario, and then which, in other words, what is basically the beginning of a story, and then you assign the people to take on various parts and give them a little sense of who that person is in the scenario, and then you say, okay, guys, go, and then they take that idea and go with it. Now, the object of that is to have the people that are in the different scenarios. It's sometimes not a safe space, which means that they'll be challenged to assume a different character, sometimes not even human. It might be an animal or an object that's part of this. So it can be anything. And the other part of that is sometimes after doing something that's basically can be funny, we'll say to the same actors, now do the same scenario as a high drama.
Wow.
So now it's a whole different spin on the basic story. And I'm telling you, it's thrilling to see talented people that are taking that challenge and running with it. And it's almost like a team effort because they all have to be in the moment as they're creating this story from the scenario. So I'm thrilled about that. That's going to go from 4 to 5:30. And the introduction to this class is this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock. So if anybody wants more information on that and details of how to RSVP to be on the list to go in, they can do that by emailing me. And that, again, is Nick, NYNY1, the number 1, at gmail.com. Nick, NYNY1, at gmail.com. So that's it. I mean, I'm so happy. There's three very exciting and very different programs all happening in the same venue on the same day.
On the same day. That is awesome. And we have to get updates on that as it develops. So you're well established in what you're doing and you're always trying new things. And now Phoenix, you just started with the Preceptor project. And
yes,
can you
I did.
Explain a little bit about what the Preceptor project is? I know that you use the UFOs as a symbol and that you have spoken about Stephen Greer, who also inspired the Disclosure Network, and that you do meditations that attune you with friendly aliens. So why don't you explain a little bit more about that aspect of the Preceptor project? Like, what is a Preceptor?
A preceptor is a teacher, usually in the medical field. Kind of a joke going around. Kind of a joke going around the design table where, the world needs a doctor. Not just
okay.
The people in it, but the whole planet needs a doctor, right?
Amen.
Anybody who listens to modern day like hip hop music knows where I got that reference from. You know, we need a doctor. But okay, so yeah. Now, one of the gifts that I started out with was the ability to take machines. Okay, techno druid. It's like saying icy hot or pretty ugly. No, okay, so druids are usually not technologically inclined at all. So now, with very little training in the fields that I wanted to be in, I've had to self-teach pretty much everything.
Hercules, can you hear is my audio doing okay?
You're breaking up, but I can still hear you. Can you hear him, Nick?
Yes, I can. Yep.
Okay.
But there is some kind of interference or something going on, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a little ding or something, like an elevator door.
There is, again.
I don't know.
I can hear that.
Huh. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but okay, we'll roll with it. Okay, so now I had found when I had sided with a renewable energy company out here in Utah, and then I was going to take that to Hercules invited me to a library show in Creskill, New Jersey. My bad. Wrong side of the river there, guys. Sorry. And from there, was a short. No, I took. I took. I, in the while we were talking about that, I found this thing. And I found this. You know, I found the Internet of Things. I found out you can have a full-size, fully functional Linux computer on this little tiny board the size of a credit card, basically. And I, you know, the world opened up. Okay.
We're getting really bad static right now.
Hold on, let me unplug my headset.
Okay. We're getting really bad static right now.
Hold on, can you guys hear me?
And we're getting echoes too.
Huge echoes.
Okay, now it's repeating itself on your end, and we're getting static.
We're getting echoes too.
Try calling in again, Phoenix.
Huge echoes. 10-4, dialing, hanging up and dialing.
Okay, now it's repeating itself on your end, and we're getting static. Try calling in again, Phoenix.
10-4, dialing, hanging up and dialing.
Okay, now it's repeating itself on your end, and we're getting static. Nick, are you still there?
I am, but I can hear a huge amount of ringing and interference.
Me too.
Like ringing, things like that going on. Also, there's a time delay of a few seconds, a time delay going on.
I'm getting that as well.
Now, this is very unfortunate. Poor Phoenix. He was just starting to say something.
It feels like we're in the Twilight Zone. Let me see what we can do.
We are in the Twilight Zone. Poor Phoenix.
I know. It feels like we're in the Twilight Zone.
Judging by. We are in the Twilight Zone.
Well, guys, I'm going to take those and make a song out of it or something.
A significant time delay going on. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that should close itself up in about 46.
Well, guys, I'm going to take those and make.
Okay, how's that? Is everybody still here?
Yes,
I'm here.
Oh,
okay.
It's much better,
okay.
much better now.
Much better. Okay, so
that,
yeah, what I was saying is
that's never happened before.
How's that? Is everybody still here?
Yeah.
No, it's happening again.
Okay. How's the sound check now, guys?
Go ahead, Phoenix.
Okay. Let's see if I repeat in a second. Okay. So, yeah, Hercules, I found the Hercules introduced me to this thing called the Internet of Things, and the world just opened up. Now, I've since expanded upon that. Amateur radio operators like myself use these things. A lot of people use these things. Particle electronics is hitting the utility grids with smart flow sensors, water regulation systems that are all based off these little tiny components. So, what a better. And at that time, I was running a small company called Rebirth of Renaissance. The Perceptor Project is a is a recognized company in the state of Utah. It's contested. It's being contested in court right now. Yeah. And interesting stuff. So what our goal is, at least from my end of things, is we can take these small machines and implement them into various things where you would have normally like a switch or a relay or, you know, small technology. And with
Phoenix, are you there? Hello? The whole signal is going off. Boy, this is amazing. We've lost Hercules, the producer, and we've lost Phoenix, the host.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Hello?
There you are. There was a lot of silence there. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of that last 30 seconds was heard?
Yeah, okay. Well, you might want to repeat that last bit you were talking about, so for the listeners.
Okay, so I found the Internet of Things. People are using it even in the utility grids. A company called Particle Electronics is actually putting out a small microchip-sized unit that you connect up to your... Hello?
Phoenix, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here,
so am I.
Hercules there.
We might as well continue.
Definitely continue.
I don't know if we're being broadcast or not at the moment, but let's continue until they tell us.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also at my W-2 job running the stuff, so you're gonna hear background. We're actually doing cashier work. So.
Go ahead.
I need to fix, guys. Okay, so.
Hi, one second. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
On my board, it's continuous echoes. Are you guys still hearing echoes?
There is something going on, yeah. It's not clear, and it's very echoey. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the board, because I did everything I possibly could to correct the sound, and I even tried turning it off and turning it back on again. We're getting the echoes.
I think it's the board. I think it's the board also. Never worse than tonight for some reason.
Yeah.
Because my program was crystal clear. It was perfect. We had no problem technically.
Yes, it was. It was crystal clear. We had no problem.
See, and then I jumped on and the echo started with the elevator door sound.
So what do you want to do there, Hercules?
We're not going to be able to really talk because of the echoes.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest is let's give it a brief break.
Okay.
And call back in 5 minutes and let me see what I could do to get rid of the echoes.
Okay.
Because otherwise it'll just
be
a cacophony of sound. So I'll talk to you in 5 minutes and we'll take it from there.
Okay.
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 Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Can you hear me? Hello, am I out here alone in the Twilight Zone, guys? Hello? Hey, I'm hanging up and redialing if you can hear me.
Can everybody hear me?
Hello?
Hello? Can everybody hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Can you hear now?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay, we're still getting echoes.
So is this going on? Is this on the air?
Yes, we're currently broadcasting, but we're getting the echoes.
Okay, well, at least it's a little bit shorter than it was. Okay, so, yeah. Hercules, Creskill Library. Oh, man. That was a dream. And, yeah, give special thanks to the Lioness for helping make that possible. And wow, I still wish I could take her on that walk. All the way across the country, but no, just running around down there. But, okay, so moving forward, with the Perceptor Project, our goal is to take small things that people can very easily work with. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Are we still,
hi, Nick.
Okay,
you joined us.
Yeah, I just got on.
I could not get rid of the echo.
Isn't that crazy, huh?
Yeah, it is, especially since your program was crystal clear. I started noticing something when the music was put on. The music was extraordinarily loud.
Yes,
and,
yes, that's true.
That was the first weird thing, and I had it on the lowest setting, and it was still blaring.
Yeah,
so
well,
I think
like
something is wrong with their sound.
The instruments were not responding correctly at all.
Right.
Definitely not.
And I am talking on my cell phone now.
Right.
And even though it won't let me talk to you through the computer, it didn't shut off the sound from the computer. So what's happening is because I'm on the cell phone now, I don't know what it was before, it's creating an echo because you're not supposed to talk on the phone and the computer at the same time. So usually when something happens with the computer, I go on the cell phone and I just mute the computer. And then I control the board through the computer, but I speak through the cell phone. But that's not working today.
Even with the microphone from the computer unplugged.
Let me try that. Okay. No, it didn't work. I just unplugged the microphone from the computer.
How much of this is being picked up on Blog Talk's end?
This is live.
Yeah, no, I know. And everything that we're, no, is that a possibility for where the echo started?
I don't know. So I think our best bet is just to cancel the rest of tonight's shows because this is going to be something we're going to be wrestling with and reschedule everything.
Yeah, the recording said that it was dropped. The recording I heard said that the English woman's voice said that the program was over.
Really? Hear the end episode button is still there.
Oh.
And the clock is going, and it tells you that it's streaming.
Well, I guess, whatever.
Well, maybe it was your guest with his energy entities.
Oh, no, don't blame Kurt. Don't blame Kurt. He's a good guy.
I'm not blaming anybody. No, I just made a joke because he was talking about how the entities would enter things and maybe one of them decided to stick around.
Perceptor is set to save the world with small technology turning into big technology.
There
turning into things like lemonade, you know. So, I guess the forces of chaos will oppose positive change when it stands the capability of happening.
And it's a shame tonight. I wanted to tie together Project Lemonade with your Hudson River Project and the Atlantis Initiative and all this other stuff. But I guess that's not going to happen tonight.
Right. All right.
So
we tried.
Thank you to both of you. You're awesome. And to be continued.
To be continued.
Definitely.
Okay. Good night, Phoenix. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Right, you too.
And thanks to all who've stuck with us throughout this strange experience. The paranormal happens here on the radio as well. So everyone, joyous journeys and amazing adventures.
Amen to that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll play a song, and then we'll fade out.
dead, a son of sun, a tear wiped away with a smile. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? I can see cloven hoof falling on the bearskin of the earth. I can see life returning, feel the triple one's rebirth. Golden light dapples across the woodland as the piper dances and plays his tune. Turn the hunter, horned one, spirit of man, to the moon. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? Can you hear the pipes of Pan on the warm summer breeze? If you can you feel him deep within? Blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hope, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old?
feel the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. Hear the call of our ancestors of blood and bone. Of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well. Chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Hill, his arms raised high to the moon, chanting words, a charm, a spell of power, a witch's rune. He calls to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. He calls to his ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. A charm of silver, the gypsy said when he was just 17. Your future, I'll tell you, every thread and turn is there to be seen. She took his hands, tracing the lines, searching for patterns and looking for signs. Your life a construction, one day you will see. Through the illusion and into the dream. Lady, stir your cauldron well. Chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. So we stand on this hill, our shadows are cast by the moon, chanting words, our charm, our spell of power, our witch's rune. We call to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. We call to our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born.
never gone as carried when cold. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Caradwen's children, the cauldron born. You're the cauldron born.
thing involved.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.